ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7th चैप्टर 15th इंस्ट्रक्शंस फॉर सिविलाइज्ड ह्यूमन बीइंग्स टेक्स्ट 11। तस्मादैव उपपन्नेन मुनि अन्नेन अपि धर्मवेत् संतुष्ट अहर्कुर्यान्। नित्य नैमित्तिकी क्रिया। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, day by day, one who is actually aware of religious principles and is not heinously envious of poor animals should happily perform daily sacrifices and those for certain occasions with whatever food is available easily by the grace of the Lord. Purport. The word dharmavit, meaning one who knows the actual purpose of religion, is very significant. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarva Dharmam Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. Becoming Krishna conscious is the topmost stage in understanding of religious principles. One who reaches this stage performs the archana process in devotional service. Anyone, whether a grihastha or a sannyasi, can keep small deities of the Lord suitably packed or, if possible, installed, and thus worship the deities of Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, Lord Jagannath or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By offering food prepared in ghee and then offering the sanctified prasad to the forefathers, demigods and other living entities as a matter of routine daily work. All the centers of our Krishna conscious movement have deity worship programs very nicely going on, in which food is offered to the deity and distributed to the first class Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and even to the people in general. This performance of sacrifice brings complete satisfaction. The members of Krishna conscious movement engage daily in such transcendental activities. Thus, in our Krishna conscious movement, there is no question at all of killing animals. So first of all, I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can make an attempt to speak on this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this chapter is entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. And in this verse, a very important word comes, that is dharmavit. One who knows the actual purpose of religion is called dharmavit. So the first and the most foremost instruction for all living entities is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ultimately return back home, back to Godhead. So there is a need to understand what is actually the purpose of religion. We see nowadays that in the name of religion, so many things go on which are not supposed to be done. People are into the conversion business, converting people into different religions. But ultimately, there is no satisfaction. Even if a person gets converted for few hundred rupees or few hundred dollars, still there is no satisfaction. So one has to understand the purpose of religion. And the second point, which is mentioned in the translation, that one should become non-envious. This is a very important point, to become non-envious. The very existence of a living entity is due to Ichha Dvesha Samuttena, because of desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. And this gives rise to hatred, that is envy. And because we envy the Lord, we are envious of all living entities. So we will discuss this topic. First we will see why there is a need to be aware of the purpose of religion. And how, after knowing the purpose of religion, that's what Srimad Bhagavatam states, to develop unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. And in this process of devotional service, one gets reads of this, the greatest anartha of envy. So any religion, Prabhupada always used to say that we are not here to convert anyone. You may follow your religion, but if it is not teaching you how to love God, then that is cheating religion. And that's why Bhagavatam, in the second, first chapter of second verse, Bhagavatam completely rejects all other religious principles and directly propounds this highest truth, that loving devotional service to the Lord. So religion, it's not that some people say that I follow this religion, I'm also religious. But actually, people are not aware of the religion means, in short, that these are the codes or the laws given by the Lord. Dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat parinitam. So people manufacture their own religion and they say that we are also religious. When we go out for preaching, many people say that we also know Bhagavad Gita, we are also religious. You may be thinking that you are a religious person, but we are also religion, we also do our puja every day. So the purpose is actually lost. There is no system nowadays to educate people in the field of religion. Everything is messed up, and we see there is chaos everywhere in the name of religion. There are fights, quarrels, and even wars. So because the whole purpose of religion is not understood, people become envious in the name of religion. Actually, the purpose of any religion, if you see, whether it's Islam or Christianity, the same principles are there, enunciated there, that love God and love living entities. But in the name of religion, because of misinterpretation and not getting the knowledge in a proper parampara, all these deviations takes place. So if we are not aware of purpose of religion, a person gets confused, bewildered, and he gets into more and more of sense gratification. And because of which, he is caught up in the cycle of birth and death. And therefore, Vedas, they give generally three ways. The first is of fruitive activities. So that by embarking on such activities, a person is gradually elevated to higher planets. And the second way is given of demigod worship. So that they worship the demigods and they can transport themselves after death to their planets so that they can get a better quality life. And last, and the third one, is realizing the absolute truth in the form of impersonal Brahman and actually merging into it. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjun that Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadyanti avapashchita vedavadarata partha nanya dastiti vadina. Kamatmana swarga para janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogeshwara gatam prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So people are generally attracted because the very existence, as we stated, the very our existence is due to desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. Ichha dvesha samuttena. And because of this, the root cause of all suffering is the material desire. That's the ichha, to enjoy separately from the Lord. And because we have this desire, these desires are like, it can be considered like analogy is given of a web, a spider who has his web, and he himself gets caught up in that web. He cannot get out of it. So because of one desire and because of all these various fruitive activities which are offered in the Vedas, a person gets into fulfilling his desires. And one after another, he gets actually caught up in that network. And it's very difficult to get out of that cycle. And a result of which, he is caught up in the cycle of birth and death. And therefore, People are not aware of this. And therefore, Prabhupada writes in one of the purport in Bhagavad Gita that ignorance is cause of bondage and knowledge is cause of liberation. And therefore, we have to be aware of what actually the purpose of religion is. The whole world is revolving around sense gratification. Anywhere you go, everything ultimately comes down or boils down to sense gratification. Either people want to enjoy in this present life to their fullest extent, or they want nice birth, as it is stated here. Nice birth, good birth, power, or heavenly planets, where the same sense gratification is there, enjoying separately from the Lord. And ultimately, it's not going to give satisfaction. And therefore, it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, karma kanda, jnana kanda, visharamanda. It is like a poison pot embarking on these fruitive activities or karma kanda. It's like you are drinking poison. It will never bring satisfaction. Because all material activities, they have actions and reactions in the three modes of material nature. And therefore, Arjuna, in the next verse, he says that Traiguna Vishaya Veda Nistraiguna Bhavarjuna Nirdandva Nitya Sattvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. He says that become transcendental to these three modes and be situated in the self and try to tolerate these dualities. And these dualities which arise, like happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, these one has to tolerate. And it can be tolerated only not on our own, by our own endeavor, but it is said in that purport, Prabhupada says that this transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. When becomes fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna, then only we can develop this quality of tolerance. And therefore, these all various Vedic literatures are given so that gradual elevation of the living entity takes place. From sense gratification, he is elevated to a transcendental plane. And therefore, these different scriptures are given for different people in different modes. Just like all of us know that there are 18 major Puranas, 6 in the mode of goodness, 6 in the mode of passion, and 6 in the mode of ignorance. So that gradually they will be elevated. And Prabhupada writes in one of the purports to Bhagavad Gita that Upanishads mark the beginning of a transcendental life. And Bhagavad Gita is considered as Gita Upanishad, fifth Veda, which is part of Mahabharata. So, the process which is given in all different scriptures for gradual elevation is actually bewildering and confusing. There is no proper understanding of these scriptures, and because of which people get into more and more of materialistic activities. They hover on the mental platform and still they are dissatisfied. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given the simplest process of chanting of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That itself will bring satisfaction. So we will first try to understand from Srimad Bhagavatam what actually Bhagavatam has to say about Dharma. And then we will see about why Vasudeva was dissatisfied. A section from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Narada's instruction on Srimad Bhagavatam to Vasudeva. Now, Vasudeva is a compiler of all Vedas, but still he was dissatisfied. So, we will discuss that section which is related to our topic we are discussing today. So, what is the definition of Dharma? It is very clearly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai pamsa paradharmo yeto bhakti radokshaje. Ahaituki apratiyata yayatma sutprasiddhati. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service should be unmotivated, uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. That is the supreme occupation. That is supreme dharma. Therefore, Prabhupada translates the meaning of dharma as that which sustains one's existence. Very nice definition. That which sustains one's existence. as we have already mentioned, that there are two ways generally. That is Pravruti Mark, and in the Parpat, Prabhupada writes that it is the Pravruti Mark and the Nivruti Mark. Pravruti Mark is the path of sense enjoyment, regulated life, regulated sense enjoyment, which will ultimately lead you to acceptance of God and developing relationship. But it's a gradual process, it's an inferior process. And other one is Nivruti Mark, that is renunciation, that is sacrificing everything for the Lord. That is the superior path. Because people generally think happiness is what? Happiness is just temporary cessation of some miseries which we face. That is happiness. But that happiness doesn't last long. It's temporary. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. As Krishna has mentioned, the whole world, this material world is dukkhalayam, full of miseries and ashashvat. So whatever we will get here, happiness, whether it's on the bodily platform or on a mental platform or an essential platform, it's temporary. But devotional service is eternal. That's why it is said, Satchit Ananda. It's eternal, blissful and all cognizance. That is the superior quality of occupation. Therefore, it is defined that supreme occupation by which one can develop love of God. And not only love. Love means unmotivated and uninterrupted, Prabhupada writes. So one has to engage in devotional service of the Lord. That will bring satisfaction. Prabhupada writes in that purport, at the end of the purport, by engaging in devotional service of the Lord, that will gradually give one the clue of actual life and please Him to complete satisfaction. Because everyone wants to become the Lord. No one wants to become servant. But we are eternally subordinate to the Lord, eternally servant. And Lord is our master. So this relationship of servant and the served, this is the topmost, Prabhupada writes, that is the topmost form of intimacy. Therefore, realizing this is very important. And when in next future three shlokas, Prabhupada writes that by devotional service, one develops knowledge and jnana and vairagya. And the occupational duties which are mentioned for a person, if they do not provoke attraction for the Lord, then they are simply waste of time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. So there are different occupational activities according to man's conception of life. Just like it is said, Prabhupada writes in the Parpat, that for a gross materialist, he cannot go beyond the body and the senses, beyond the body and the mind. Prabhupada writes that it is concentrated selfishness that is seen in animals and extended selfishness that is generally in human beings. Person starts identifying with, first is with himself, that is concentrated selfishness. Then he starts extending that consciousness towards his family, towards his community, society and then humanity at large. But this is itself also a selfishness. This is also sense gratification. It is more concentrated sense gratification or extended sense gratification. Therefore, we see people, even though they perform so much philanthropic work, opening schools, giving food for the poor, but still, that is not perfection. Yeah, that is better. It's better than a hardcore materialist. But still, unless and until it is not done in connection to Krishna, it will not give satisfaction. So why people are dissatisfied, it is said. Prabhupada writes very nicely in that purport. Because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of body and mind. And because of which they are not satisfied. In spite of performance of all occupational duties. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with emolument of body and mind. It's just like you are polishing the cage. You have a golden cage and you have a bird. So, person is not taking care of the bird, but he is polishing the cage. So, Prabhupada says that the whole civilization is a cage polishing civilization. We are taking care of the body, but no one is doing something for the soul. What are the needs of the soul? That was first have to understand and feed the soul. Therefore, unless all these occupational activities or duties, if they do not provoke this divine consciousness, then it is just Shrama Evahi Kevalam. waste of time. This is possible, Prabhupada writes, that by only by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, that will help us to evoke that divine consciousness. And then in the next verse, all occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to the sages, one who is engaged in ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Generally, people think religion is meant to satisfy our desires. Temple is meant to come and order before the Lord. And people think Lord is our order supplier. He is our servant. He has to give it. And if desires are not realized, or whatever their needs they express towards the Lord, that they are not realized, then they say that God is not there. This gives rise to atheism, atheistic mentality. So because people have no understanding of what actually the purpose of religion is, such misinterpretations and deviations takes place. Therefore, it is said that material gain should never be used for fulfillment of desires. It is said further that how material gain should be utilized. It is said, very important. Now, this is the most important shloka for all of us. The point which we are making, that how to become non-envious, is very important. So here is the answer for that. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's work. A person becomes envious because he is after sense gratification. We will see in the future verses. It is said, by serving the Vaishnavas, one becomes prideless. And by giving up sense gratification, one becomes non-envious. So sense gratification, the engagement of the senses, to be more precise, we cannot give up engagement of the senses. But at the moment, we are after satisfying our own senses. The same senses, Rushikesha, Rushikesha, Sevanam. When the same senses are utilized for the service of the Lord, then they are purified. My spiritual life is not becoming desirelessness. Prabhupada writes in one of the Bhagavad Gita purports. Desires will always be there. But the process of bhakti is of purifying those desires. Desiring what the Lord desires. Not what we desire. What is the desire of Lord for me? That has to be known. And religion should teach this principle. What Lord wants. Therefore, in the purport, Prabhupada writes that the highest form of religious principle is Sarva Dharmam Parityajya. Mamekam Sharanam Marja. Aham Tam Sarva Papabhyo Mokshaya Same Masucha. People say that, yeah, I will come to the temple when the Lord desires. But Lord has already desired 5,000 years back. Sarva Dharmam Parityajya. Come to me and you will be the happiest person. But people think that Lord, when Lord desires, I will come. No, we have to desire now. Lord has already given his desires in form of all these various scriptures, in form of Bhagavatam, in form of Bhagavad Gita. What Lord expects is already given. Now our duty is to fulfill those expectations. That will bring real satisfaction. And therefore, one who accepts Vasudeva Parodharma, real religion is rendering loving service to the Lord, that will bring real satisfaction. In one of the purports, Prabhupada writes that irreligious life is a barbarous condition in the first chapter of second verse, Prabhupada writes. And religion is an extra function of the living entity. So one has to understand that this development of loving devotional service has to be developed in order to bring satisfaction. And this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will try to see what are the lessons we can learn from this chapter 5, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. So this section of the whole theme of this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains, it highlights that the need for glorification of the Lord.
Now Vyasadeva is the author, is the editor of all Vedic literature. And after compiling all the Vedic literatures, after compiling Mahabharata, still he is feeling dissatisfied. We can see the whole situation, we can relate to our own self. He has given all material knowledge and also part of spiritual knowledge, not complete, but also he has touched those subjects also in all these Vedic literatures. But in spite of that, he is feeling dissatisfied. He has given all the Vedic literatures for all round welfare of the general mass of people. And it was expected that he would be satisfied by all such activities. But ultimately he was not satisfied. So people, just as we mentioned, they are engaged in so many welfare activities. But still, we see that they are not satisfied. And for whom they are rendering that service, they are also not satisfied. You can feed a person today, but what about tomorrow? You can remove a person's suffering by giving him medication. But can we really stop diseases or old age? So no one has this understanding that these are the problems of life. So even philanthropic work, it is on the bodily platform. And therefore, it doesn't do all good to the people. For some time it may be on a bodily level, but not all times. So here in section before to this, that is fourth chapter, the dharmavit, the same word comes. Na ati prasidat hrudaya sarasvatyas chate suchav vitarkaryan vivikthasta idam chovacha dharmavit. Thus the sage, been dissatisfied at heart, at once began to reflect, because he knew the essence of religion, and he said within himself. The sage began to search out the cause of not being satisfied at heart. Prabhupada writes in the purport, perfection is never attained until one is satisfied at heart. This satisfaction of heart has to be searched out beyond matter, beyond body, beyond our senses, and beyond our mind, beyond matter. And Vyasadeva is reflecting. I am feeling incomplete, though I am fully equipped with everything required by the Vedas. Vyasadeva was complete in all the details of Vedic achievements. And Prabhupada writes that purification of living beings submerged in matter is made possible by the prescribed activities in the Vedas, but the ultimate achievement is different. Unless it is attained, the living being, even though fully equipped, cannot be situated in the transcendental normal stage. Srila Vyasadeva appeared to have lost the clue and therefore felt dissatisfaction. Kimva bhagavata dharma na prayena nirupita priya paramhamsanam ta eva hi achyuta priya. He is reflecting, Vyasadeva is reflecting why he is dissatisfied. And he says, this may be because I did not specifically point out the devotional service to the Lord, which is dear both to perfect beings and to the infallible Lord. And full satisfaction, Prabhupada writes, unless one is reinstated in the normal condition of service to the Lord, one cannot have satisfaction. So we will see, in short, about various reasons which bring Vyasadeva's dissatisfaction. The first and the foremost reason is explained in this fourth chapter, is insufficient glorification of the Supreme Lord. And then this chapter starts Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva is sitting on the bank of Saraswati, and Narad Muni approaches him. And as soon as Narad Muni approaches him, Narad Muni starts smiling. Smayan Iva. Narad Muni is smiling. Why? Because he knew the cause of his despondency or dissatisfaction. It is not that Vedvyas was lacking in knowledge. He had full knowledge, but still he was dissatisfied, and Narad Muni is smiling. And therefore, it is due to the insufficient glorification of the Lord, he was completely dissatisfied. Then Narad Muni approached Vyasadeva and is speaking to him. Very nice shlokas it's like on one verse we can go on speaking, but just to understand, we'll take a few verses which are related to this topic.
Narada Uvacha, Parasharya Mahabhaga Bhavata Kaschid Atmana Paritushtanti Tushyati Sharira Atma Manasa Evaiva.
Addressing Vyasdev, the son of Parashar, Narada inquired, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or mind as objects of self-realization?
Prabhupada writes in this purport that this is the hint Narada is giving, the cause of despondency.
Now Narada here, Parasharya Mahabhaga, he said, you are the most fortunate son of Parashar Muni. So there is no need for him to be dissatisfied because he has the clear knowledge of everything. He knows that the soul is part and parcel of the Lord. So he's saying, are you satisfied by identifying with the body and mind as the objects of self-realization?
I was reading one of the books. In that book, they say, this is a book which is, it's a sect, mostly in the Western world. So they say that God is mind. And you have to relate it. Like they, what they say, that the whole purpose, what in a sense, what they propagate or what they preach is God is mind. So how can God be mind?
So such wrong conception, the same thing, when I read that and I read this verse, that Vyasadeva is saying, how can you be satisfied by identifying with the body or mind as the objects of self-realization? Object of self-realization is soul, not body and mind. That is part and parcel of the Lord. So how can one person be satisfied by identifying with the body or mind? And because of this, he is still morose. And same condition, Prabhupada says in one of the lectures, the whole material civilization is dissatisfied. Everyone is morose or disappointed or dissatisfied. Why? Because they are identifying with the body and mind. This is one of the reasons why Vyasadeva was completely dissatisfied. And therefore, we can learn one lesson from this particular section, this particular verse, is that Prabhupada writes in the purport, one cannot be cheerful by nature unless one is factually seated in self-realization, which is transcendental to the material body and mind.
Clear-cut understanding that it's beyond the mind. You cannot be happy if you are identifying yourself with the body or mind. We have to go beyond that.
Another reason why Vyasadeva was dissatisfied is that he did not go beyond the Brahman understanding of the Lord. The three features of understanding of the Supreme Lord, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So Vyasadeva, Narad Muni is saying, you have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefore. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you have undone, my dear Prabhu?
Now Vyasadeva has compiled all the Vedic information, he has given the knowledge of Brahman, and still he is feeling dissatisfied.
So here Prabhupada writes, the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra compiled by Srila Vyasadeva is the full deliberation of the impersonal absolute future, and it is accepted as the most exalted philosophical exposition in the world. It covers the subject of eternity and the methods are scholarly. So there cannot be any doubt about the transcendental scholarship of Vyasadeva. So why should he lament?
So another lesson we can understand from this particular verse, that even if one is scholar, even if one has the scholarship of understanding all the Vedic literatures, still he cannot be satisfied.
So this element of glory, if unless and until this element of glorification of the Lord is not there, even though he is a scholar, he will always be dissatisfied. That is another second reason for Vyasadeva's dissatisfaction. Another reason for Vyasadeva's dissatisfaction is given in the 8th verse, where Narad Muni is pointing out that what actually Vyasadeva has done.
Srila Narada Uvacha, Bhavata anudita prayam yasho bhagavato amalam yena eva asau natushyata manye tad darshanam khilam.
Sri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. because it doesn't satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, dry philosophical speculations even on the transcendental subject of absolute truth has very little attraction without directly dealing with the glorification of the Lord. So, even when a person is on the platform of Brahman, still it cannot give complete satisfaction. It is less productive, Prabhupada writes. Absolute truth realized as impersonal Brahman or localized super soul, that is the second stage of understanding Lord, is less productive of transcendental bliss than the supreme personal realization of his glories. Very important statement. So even person hovering on this platform of Atma, Brahman or Paramatma cannot give complete satisfaction. And Vyasadeva was aware of all these things. Of course, Srila Vyasadeva is an acharya. He is just by his example, setting an example, how to become satisfied. And in the future section, we will see how he became satisfied. And the next verse, Srila Narad Muni, he points out the defect in Srila Vyasadeva. Although great sage, you have broadly described the four principles, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. He's now directly pointing out the defect. Of course, he's a literary incarnation. He is beyond all those faults. But this is just to instruct us. He's an acharya. Vyasadeva is an acharya. And therefore, in the previous verses, when Narad Muni comes and he starts smiling, Vyasadeva approaches him. Another lesson which we can learn, that acceptance of a spiritual master. Now Vyasadeva is saying, all you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge, due to your being offspring of Brahma, who is self-born, without mundane father and mother. My Lord, everything that is mysterious is known to you because you worship the creator and destroyer of the material world and the maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. So even Vyasadev, he is approaching spiritual master. He is showing by his example. So we cannot understand all these Vedic literatures or all these religious performances unless we approach a guru, bona fide spiritual master. At least, before coming to ISKCON, we never knew that this is the topmost, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. We thought whatever we are doing is perfect. Whatever puja we are doing is perfect. Whatever religious activity we are doing, that is perfect. That is going to lead us to perfection. But that too is on a bodily or mental platform, sensual platform. Only when you come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, you get that bhakti lata bij. So this is a very important point, very important principle, that Vyasadeva is feeling insufficient. He is not proud of his knowledge. Generally, a scholar becomes pride enters into his heart. More you know, more you become proud of what you know. But Vyasadeva, in spite of that, he was such humble that he was accepted Narad Muni as a spiritual master. And he's saying, now please point out the defect in me and please give me the solution. So here, Narad Muni is pointing out that the defect in Vyasadeva. He's saying that he had deliberately avoided the glorification of the Lord in various sections of various Puranas. Though Vyasadeva had mentioned glorification of the Lord, but not to the extent it has to be emphasized. He gave, but more emphasis was on material aspect. But now specifically, Narad Muni is saying that you have deliberately avoided this particular glorification of the Lord and therefore you are despondent, therefore you are dissatisfied. And one of the lessons we can learn from this is that in future verses, of course, we are running short of time, but Vyasadeva, after giving all these Vedic literatures, another point which causes dissatisfaction to the people in general who take those instructions, Vyasadeva has given all sorts of different forms of worship in various Puranas, demigod worship. And this has resulted into different sects or religions. He has not clearly stated who is the absolute truth. Therefore, Bhagavatam propounds Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Son of Vasudev. Clearly stated. In all other Vedic literatures, there are different forms of worship. Demigods. And therefore, it has given rise to what is called as pantheism. Worshipping of different demigods. And as a result of which, there are different sects. And because of the different sects, there are conflicts. If someone is worshipping some particular demigod, he is supreme. And someone will say, no, this is supreme. And this gives rise to conflicts. So because of that, he is saying that you have deliberately avoided the glorification of the Lord. And you have given, people are puzzled because of these instructions. Because they are worshipping different demigods. And therefore, in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can take so many lessons. Just in short, we can just go through these different lessons, what we can learn. The first and foremost instruction or lesson we can learn is that we have to need to approach a spiritual master and learn from him how to glorify the Lord. On our own, we cannot know how to glorify the Lord. We have to learn. And therefore, in future section of this particular chapter, it is said that one has to come in association of devotees. When one comes in association of devotees, one starts rendering service to the Lord and his devotees. Through service, mercy flows. And when mercy starts flowing, those transcendental divine qualities starts developing in that particular individual. By development of all those good qualities, transcendental qualities, gradually one understands his real position and he starts rendering service to the Lord. And he engages in pure devotional service, ultimately. And the whole section here, Narad Muni is telling his own story also. That how he came in contact with the Bhaktivedantas. And by association and by mercy, he developed taste for hearing the glories of the Lord. That's the whole process. Accepting spiritual master, serving him, that is how we will develop taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And need to submit to Guru, not just accepting. It's not a fashion to accept a Guru. Many people think like that, that's I also a Guru. It's a fashion nowadays. But it's not a fashion. Here Vyasadeva is clear-cutly mentioning that please point out my fault. What is the defect in me? So it needs really humility to go before the spiritual master and bow down and ready to submit. Tadvidhi prani pratena, pariprashnena seva. Not with a challenging mood, but rendering service in humility. And then only the knowledge will be revealed. Another lesson which we see that involvement in karmakand actually doesn't satisfy anyone. Therefore, in spite of compiling all Vedic literatures, and most of the Vedas deals with karmakand section. So in spite of that, the author is not satisfied. So where is the question of the person who performs all those activities? The question doesn't arise of satisfaction. He has to be dissatisfied. And therefore, because he gave so much time to compile so many literatures, Narad Muni is saying that you have not used your valuable time. So another lesson, another principle that we can utilize the time in only in proper utilization of time is only by embarking on pure devotional service, activities in the pure devotional service. And therefore, another lesson is which we learned that even scholarship cannot give satisfaction. Even though we may be knowing all Vedic literatures, but unless and until we do not come to the point of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, we cannot become satisfied. And last instruction or principle which we can learn, that great personality also can deviate. Srila Vyasadeva, Acharya, he shown by his own example that one must have a spiritual master. He also got confused and bewildered in spite of compiling all other Vedic literatures. And therefore, this particular theme in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that ultimate satisfaction will come only when we glorify the Lord. And real religion, therefore, real religion is one which will help us to glorify the Lord, to develop that love for the God. by hearing, the processes of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That will bring, that will evoke our divine consciousness, that will evoke love towards God and all living entities. And that is the process how we become non-envious. By purifying our consciousness, by constantly chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If there are any comments or corrections, of course, we are already time. So if there are any corrections, we can. So we'll stop here. Grantharas Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.